Welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party Podcast, the longest running podcast about Vanderpump Rules out there. Please join your hosts, Holly and Sarah, as they deep dive everything Vanderpump Rules.
What's going on?
Hi, everybody. I'm Holly Borquez.
I'm Sarah C. And this is Vanderpump Rules Party Podcast.
Welcome, welcome.
We're going to intro now.
Yes.
Today we'll be talking about today's episode of Vanderpump Rules, episode 6 of season 11.
Where we will spend our time recapping.
We will be putting out another podcast, so don't get confused, because we put one out this morning. We're putting this one out, and then we have another one coming, so make sure you look for 3 on the regular podcast feed. The next one will be what all the news that's been happening, and we're going to finish up our New York trip and our review of Chicago and seeing Ariana and how all that went, so you definitely want to hear that one. And then in addition to all that, we are putting a little special gift into the Patreon of, you know, something that you guys can feel like you experienced with us in New York, and I think you'll like it. And we did it for you.
Yeah.
So I will be working on that after we do these 2 podcasts. So probably tomorrow in Patreon. So if you haven't, join Patreon. It's only $3 a month. Well worth the investment. We'll be covering other things like Beverly Hills, Summer House, stuff like that over there as well. And thank you so much to everyone who's already joined Patreon, but also everyone who has contributed to the Buy Me a Coffee. That was so amazing, and we felt very valued, appreciated, and quite frankly blown away. And Holly was able to get her hot dog and bagel thanks to all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to add?
No, I'm just like, I'm still recovering.
Yeah, you get a lot of sleep, you know.
What a whirlwind. Well, I rested today, but still like a little out of it, and I feel like I'm drinking my sparkling water to try and wet the pipes. But I'm excited to release these extra episodes after we record this, because I feel like this was a heavy episode, emotional. So it'll be nice to lighten it up a bit with all of our antics and our fun. So,
yeah. Cool. Well, let's get into it.
Okay.
So we start off back at Tahoe. It is July 15th. Sandoval's writing in his journal. And I screenshotted it, and all I could make of it was, he's like, today's been the craziest filming since starting the show. Like, did he mean this season? Because, like, since starting the show ever? Because I wouldn't say it's the craziest. Because then he goes on to describe why. He's like, I was, like, at the airport, and, like, Sheena waved me over, and it was like, you know, nothing even ever happened, and I just got so emotional and overwhelmed, and, you know, I was sleepless, and I was like, that's the craziest filming scene you've ever had.
And now we're on, I would say, the 8th time he's told this story. It's like,
yes.
We not only did we see it with our own eyes, then he had to tell us 12 times after. It's like, we get it, dude.
Yeah.
Like, to see it in his diary again, I was like, come on, dude.
I could name the craziest scene ever filming since the show started, is literally what I saw he wrote. I could probably name 100 crazier scenes, you know, in totality. And then even this season, I could name crazier filming scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So. Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't match with what his demeanor is and how he's acting. Like, if all he is looking for is, like, softness from the other cast members, he definitely is getting that. But he's, like, anytime anyone says that they are hurting, then he gets defensive. So I don't even know why it he's writing in his diary that Sheena said hi to him, because what does he care?
Yeah. So then we go to Sheena and Lala in bed, and I think we talked about this a little bit on a previous podcast, but since we're just kind of revisit this, Sheena's saying she could never be friends with Sandoval anymore, but then she's like torn because remember, she's like, I was just telling Ariana, remember during, you know, the pandemic when I was broke and I had no money and my podcast was canceled. I had no incoming money. I was pregnant and I woke up to this massive PayPal where Sandoval sent me several thousands of dollars and he was there for her in a time when no one else was. I'm like, oh, is that a dig to your other friends? I mean, this whole episode was kind of like what Ariana hasn't done for me theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this was a little bit of a dig or slam too. Like Ariana knew I was struggling and she didn't PayPal me was kind of like, I don't know, read into it a little bit.
Yeah, to me, like, as I was reading into that, first of all, like, relatable. I love that she opened up and shared. Sheena was very open this entire episode, which I really appreciated. And I thought was what I want to see from Sheena. This is the Sheena, even though she, like, there's definitely some parts where I was like, ooh. I loved it because she's being her true self, which is what I feel like us viewers are always calling for. We see how thoughtful she is and how empathetic she is, but it's like we need
I was crying with her. I was like, what if I never saw Tom again or I never saw Sheena again? I was like taking it personally like they were my family to us.
I cried like twice today and Ronnie like got, she's like, Mom, why are you crying? And I would like shoot her away because I'm like, I don't have time to explain why I'm crying, but I cried during Lala's Amazon Live, which really shocked me. I cried during this episode.
I feel redemption.
Yeah, that I still need to hear about that because I didn't feel that.
You guys, on our next podcast, we'll be discussing Chicago and why Sarah cried during the musical theater performance.
Yes.
So I cried. Now today, Holly's crying at Lala and Sheena. But you know, yeah. Touche. Yes, I felt it was very real and authentic and raw as well from Sheena.
Yeah, and it, like, anyways, back to my point of what I read into that, if Sandoval sent her several thousands of dollars when she need, you know, she didn't ask for it, it just showed, like, what she's saying, like, in between the lines is he listened to her. He heard, you know, her, that she was struggling, she didn't ask for it, and then he took that step to fill that need for her, which I think that's a friend that goes the extra mile. That's a true friend that's listening to you. I'm not saying that Sandoval is this true friend or whatever, but I'm just saying who wouldn't want a friend that listened to you, not just vent, but then acted on a way to help you. It's like extremely thoughtful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll totally give him that.
Yeah.
You know, I've never thought he was 100% evil or narcissist. I do still believe there's a few things he has done that is not just self-serving or to be the hero. I believe it's still, he's still loving to be the hero and the savior, but at the same time, while he's doing a good act, that does also accomplish some good. So whatever his intentions are or motives, that's one thing. If it's a good result, then give you a little bit of a pass.
Totally. And well, then the part that worries me, because we are speaking about him, I'm just saying in general, like, you would want a friend like that. But speaking of Sandoval, I do think he is addicted to being thanked for things and having people be uber grateful to him. Yeah. Like, I think, like, with the James and Raquel engagement, he loved that because he was getting thanked and people were like, wow, like, why would you do that? Like, you're such a great friend. That's, like, extremely satisfying to him.
Yeah, remember we had that friend that was always trying to be the savior, the hero to our mutual friend? And so we'd always, like, sing I will be your hero. Like, that was just his dream, to be like the hero. And
yes.
And a lot of men have that savior, damsel in distress, I'll rescue you. And they get off on the
absolutely. And ego. And they even turn the narrative to the person they're rescuing, that they're being attacked by people they aren't even being attacked by. You know, like, for instance, if like a joke is cracked, that hero person will go to them and be like, that's weird that they're your friends and they just said that. Like, come over here. Like, I'm way more loyal than that. You know, it's like, ugh, I don't like that.
Yeah. So she basically tells Lala she's struggling to not forgive this human who has been there for her. Like, she literally stressed that word. Who has been there for me. You know, so mm-hmm. that's important, you know. Because it kind of feeds into later on her feelings and emotions as well.
Yes.
Brock went golfing at 5:50 a.m. Like, props, bro. Props, bro.
So, I am not a Brock fan. But this episode, I, like, in my notes and everything, like, first of all, I found myself laughing out loud to him. I also found myself... nodding along with him for just kind of stepping in when he needed to, and Allie too. Both of the
and stepping away when he needed to,
yeah.
And then pushing Sheena when she needed to be pushed.
The supporting characters really did a great job this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We flip over to Ariana's photo shoot with her cocktail book. They really, this whole episode, if this is what we're going to continue to get, Katie and Ariana driving around talking about sandwiches. It's like, did everybody forget we did a sandwich tasting and a sandwich opening last year? So why are we still sussing out the menu here? I think, you know what I realized they should have, could have done to make this more interesting is bring in Kristen Doty. Maybe not to the cocktail shoot, but the second time Katie and Ariana sit down where they're discussing, like, Sheena, like, are you going to distance yourself from Sheena if she's befriends Sandoval? And, like, a Kristen in there would have really spiced that whole scene up, you know?
Yeah.
They needed a third voice, I think.
But I feel like she may have been too hateful, and then everyone really would be like, people are already going to go off about Ariana in this episode, if unless Kristen was the voice of reason somehow, if she could, like, hold it in.
Did you see, actually, I'm going to watch it again tonight because I feel like the computer or the screen froze on Watch What Happens Live during the poll questions. All of the other polls, the bar results moved. But this one question, because Lala had, you know, about the, Lala had said Ariana has her head up her ass, you know, and isn't there for friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the poll question was, do you think Ariana's head is too far up her own ass? And it was like stuck on 66% yes.
Yeah.
And I was shocked.
It's true. That's what it was. I have that in my notes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to watch again to see if it changed because it just seemed like it froze at that moment because it didn't move at all. But so the tide is turning of people being.
Do you, what would you say yes or no on that question? Do you think Ariana's head is too far up her own ass?
No, I mean, she's saying you can do whatever you want to do. I'm just probably going to distance myself from you because I understand that you want someone to have no access to your life. I've been through that. I'm like, I don't want them knowing anything about me. You know what I mean? Whether
yeah.
it be a friend, boyfriend, ex. I get it. And keep in mind, this is still very fresh. You know, it's July. So it's what, 4 months? It's not right now. It's not today. And today she has moved on. Like, she doesn't even, you know, she's just not fazed. Like she said, she was like, yeah, I'm fine with selling. Even the summer, she's starting to let go. She's like, I've resigned myself to say, fine, he can have the house if he wants it that bad. But I want my furniture or whatever. You know, like, it's a process. So I think at this point in time, she's just saying, like, I don't want to be hanging around in a group. I don't want him knowing things about me through your social media updates or whatever it might be. So, I mean, for me, it's a no dog.
For me, I totally agree that, like, I think she absolutely 100% has a right to put her boundaries down and to say, like, you know, what she's okay with and what she's not. I do think it's, like, this situation would, like, never happen in real life, because the fact of the matter is that these people have to work together and they have to film together. And if nothing happened, like, what are we doing here? So I think, like, it's a sped up process, obviously, a little bit for TV, which makes it hard. But yeah, I don't know. I slightly agree with the fact that, like, Sheena has done a lot for Ariana, and what is Ariana going to do back? But I think that's coming up, so I don't think that that's fair to even add to this question.
I mean, what they didn't explain is, did Sheena explain the picture to Ariana? Because she's very upset that Ariana didn't have her back and, like, tweet something out about that. Like, it's fine, they're filming or whatever. But maybe Ariana didn't know the story. Like, at BravoCon, when that came out about Sheena going to Sandoval's room, Ariana was, you know, the next day, she didn't say much. She didn't stand up for her, but she also didn't fall into the trap of, like, throwing stones at her. She's like, yeah, that's interesting, because I think she's waiting to hear the full story before she judges. So maybe with this picture, she didn't know the whole story, so she's not going to have her back online until she knows what the story is, maybe. And she's also not going to point fingers. She's just going to do nothing, which to Sheena appears like you're not having her back. So, I mean, valid point.
It's funny, because I just thought, I remember, like, my first love relationship, when we, you know, we had been together for, like, a long time. And when you break up or someone cheats on somebody, it's like, it's horrible, because obviously you all have the same friends, right? So just like this situation. And I remember some of my childhood friends that were my friends from the beginning, you know, like, kind of like what Sheena's saying, they were my friends, or I knew him first. They sided with my ex, and, like, to this day, like, I'm just thinking about, I've literally not had a conversation with them because they made that choice. Like, I cut them off, like that's it. Like, you're done. And, yeah. And it's a choice that hurt. It hurt me. Like, it was hurtful, and it made me sad that they chose a cheater to be friends with. But, like, in the end, like, I don't know that I regret it. You know what I mean? So, and that's okay for Ariana to make that choice. And it's okay for Sheena to make a choice to be friends with him, I guess.
You're like very season one Stassi.
Yeah.
You made that choice.
Yeah.
And you called in your B group. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And Stassi, in a way, really kind of has stuck by that, because she's not really friends with them anyways, or anymore. She was, but then she wasn't.
And you have to rebuild. You have to, like, fully rebuild who you are, what you stand for, and, you know. And it seems like Ariana's kind of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a lot of opportunity, you know.
Yeah, with the whole, I don't hear from her very much anymore. I feel like it's more than just being busy. It's maybe creating some distance. I mean, there is a couple aspects here. You got the new boyfriend thing. Anytime someone gets a new boyfriend, their attention goes away a little bit, right, with their friends.
Yes.
Then she's got this grueling schedule, like, very little downtime. So there's that, too. And then the travel back and forth to the West Coast for filming obligations. You know, it's a lot. So, you know, the distance makes sense, but it also makes sense that maybe she's creating a little bit of a distance as well.
Yes.
Or maybe self-preservation. She doesn't have anything to give right now. So, you know, we'll see maybe after Chicago what happens. Well, I mean, we'll talk about this on the next podcast, but we kind of feel like we know what's going to go on with Ariana and where she's going to be. And yeah, we'll talk about that next.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go over to the yoga scene. Well, I guess first, she said her cocktail book is like stages, eras of her life. Honeymoon, but in her relationship. Honeymoon, betrayal, devastation, resilience. And she has drinks like the Coachella or the Little Sister.
Little Sister vibe, stranger in my life.
Yikes. So that kind of seems fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so the yoga scene, first of all, they all know they're doing like some kind of yoga meditation. Why are all the girls coming down in like these short, open bottomed, loose fitting shorts? I'm like, are you going to be doing yoga poses in those little shorts on camera? Because, you know, you can see every which way in, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would have expected some leggings or some biker shorts.
Some biker shorts, yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't move. They all just sat Indian style, basically, because of that. And so why didn't Sheena, there was that open mat between Lala and Allie, two of her closest friends there. Why did she go sit by Sandoval when there's an open mat between Lala and Allie that Brock eventually took, but Brock was late? So it's kind of like, that's your own damn fault, Sheena. To her credit, though, I don't know if she's become an amazing actress with all that training with the Jonas Brothers or whatever, but she did look like she was panicking, like deer in headlights when she said, it's kind of like us in like an aerobics class or something, or like, okay, we're going to partner up, and you have that fear, and you're like, fuck. And, like, I run out of the room. I'm like, I don't want a partner.
Yeah.
She did look like shit. Like, she was panicking. So then she was, like, looking over to Brock, like, get over here, get over here. I felt like that was pretty a genuine moment of panic.
The first looks weren't, like, totally genuine to me, but then as, like, we moved forward through that, then I was like, oh, okay, this is, you know, this isn't going to go well.
And she couldn't stop, and you know that feeling when you start crying, you can't stop.
I mean, to me, the breakout performance here was from none other than Hippie, who was just completely relaxed and feeling very zen.
Yeah. What I didn't need was these multiple montages of, this was so catered to the new listener, to Scandoval new viewers. It's like, we don't need the montage of season 1 to 11 of all the times you guys were friends. And they did it for both Sandoval and for Sheena.
Yeah, I feel that was overkill. One, like, I can understand, especially because they've worked so hard. It's been like they've been on TV for so long. Like, oh, okay, like, I'll give you a little montage. But it was too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for the new viewer. It shows them, like, oh, they really did have quite a history. But
What would you have done if we were in Tahoe and they told us that me and you had to go back-to-back?
Okay, wait. First of all, I have to say, if it is a new viewer, those have dropped off by now, and the new viewers that haven't dropped off by now have gone back and started from season 1. So we don't need the montage either way that you look at it. Back to back, I would have created like that bubble, like maybe put some sticks or a yoga mat between our backs.
But then how could you feel my heartbeat?
Ew. That was the goal?
Yes!
Oh, that's why Shorts and Lala were like, oh, there you are.
Oh!
That was so gross. It's like, ew! Shorts is like, there you are, Lala.
Yuck!
I would have said I had to go to the bathroom.
He's all, I feel pulses in a couple places right now.
I would have brushed my teeth and started gagging. How about that? and have to run off to the bathroom.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. That would have... Bleh. No thanks. No offense. I'm sure you have a lovely back.
I absolutely loved that Brock was late, and the panic in Sheena's... like, it was like panic, disappointment, and like being pissed off, like all in one. Like, I just... Ugh. Like, it's like me and Chad, 100%.
And she was still mad later. He's like,
yeah, and she would, like, the way she wouldn't let it go is, like, exactly how I fight with Chad, too. Like, that was awesome.
Even the yoga instructor, she's like, oh, South Tahoe, oh, that's very far.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I felt like Brock, like, also, like, the Shannon, the instructor, is like trying to get them, you know, she's like, listen to the lapping water of the lake. And he's like, hey guys, I'm here. Like, he was like, you know, like golden retriever energy coming yes. in. He's like
the China
he,
shop.
Yeah. He clumped it. Clump. Okay. So that was hilarious. And so she's like, allow yourself to be vulnerable. Did you notice Schwartz's dirty feet? He had his feet, like, so everyone's like, you know, like getting in like a comfortable position, whatever works for you. And he had his feet out and his like dirty bare feet, like the horrifying part of Pirates of the Caribbean when you're like going and the man has like the dirty, muddy foot that's going to like fall on you. That's Schwartz's feet.
Ugh. So Sheena says she doesn't, I don't want to be touching people. So again, mad respect, totally relate. And she runs up the stairs and then Brock runs after and he's like, just take a beat. But he encourages her to like battle through it, you know, to push through that wall and confront her demons. And
she's like, I'd like to do this with my husband.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't think you get the point of it. The point is that you worked through it. That's why I stepped back so you could have your moment, which I thought was like very wise.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like kind of awkward because Sheena's up there. Brock's trying to like calm her, but the seance is still going on downstairs. And so Schwartz is like, have you guys ever like seen a blue jay in real life? I saw one this morning and I thought,
that's my story.
Could be a good omen.
And then Sam was like, no, dude, I've never seen a blue jay. I'm like, how the fuck have you never seen a blue jay?
Yeah. I've seen that.
What you have not seen is a New York rat.
I'm trying to not let it, like, It's one thing I didn't get to check off. And like you said, like, it's actually like a testament to the city because it's like, holy shit, I didn't see one.
Yeah, I told her the mayor should like hire her for a tourism review or something, like a commercial. Like, and there's no more rats here anymore. So come on, everybody. Come to New York City.
Because I could take you some places here in the OC and we could see him immediately. So we've got, like, as far as I'm concerned, there's more here.
We could go to the pool cabana at your old complex in yes. South Coast Plaza.
That's right. Yeah. Oh my God. I can't. Those Where were else? Big.
I remember my backyard in Huntington, the possums and there'd be one rat that would go along like the telephone pole or the, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Sheena just keeps hysterically crying. She can't pull it together. And then they do the, now turn around and face your person and imagine this is the last time you'll ever see this person in your life. It's like, the girl's already sobbing. Now you're going to like bring death into it?
It's like the Shannon Bendor like funeral.
Yes.
They should have done, that would have been great for Sandoval. They all could be, you know, they could all get what they want, you know, and, you know, that's it. He can't do this, you know, and tell him all the things they want to tell him and he has to lay there and not talk. Damn, they should have done that.
I felt this is where I was choking up. I was like, oh, it was like my own family was dying. I was like, what's going on here with these tears? You know what?
I didn't cry on that part.
Well, to my credit, as I was watching this scene, I got a text message with a picture of this kid from Sister Wives that killed himself, and his brother that lived with him walked in and found him. Like, very, and a really a great kid. Well, a man, adult. He's
that was,
you know,
horrifying news. I am devastated about that.
I've watched that since season one, so I've watched that Garrison grow up, and he was like really together, like a role model of the family. Like, I've just been blown away, and so maybe I was a little emotional.
Again, it's a lesson to like just check in on people, even the people that you think are so happy and zippy and all the things. Like, sometimes those are I can't. That's why it's like I think that's also why I was getting emotional at Sheena getting emotional, because I know she's been through a lot. I know this has been a lot for her, and I know she holds a lot of this shit in, and she gets shit for it from all the viewers, and it makes me sad. So to me, that's, I was just, she was a mess. It was like very hard to watch.
And then she is in that weird position because she did say, look, I can get past what you did to me, but I can't get past what you did to her. So it's like she has like this double forgiveness thing going on that she's got to work through. And it's like, and it's hard when also there's kind of that ultimatum on the line. Like, I can't even drop this side of the anger or work through this, because if I do, she'll drop me as a friend. So am I going to lose him as a friend, or am I going to lose her as a friend? Because I can't have, I'm not allowed to have both. Mm-hmm. So either way, she's mourning a loss, right? Even if she forgives the wrongdoer for herself, she still is at a loss.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot to deal with. Tom took that moment to celebrate in his mind all the beautiful memories he and Sheena have created. And she says she doesn't want to keep hating you. I need to let it go because it doesn't feel good.
I feel, and like, maybe this is me completely imagining this. Like, maybe this was like a completely genuine moment. I don't know, but part of me feels like Sandoval knows exactly what to say to get to Sheena. And it was that he missed her and that he valued their memories together, because that is about her. And similar to,
she's
like,
she's very nostalgic.
Yes. Yes.
That love frog, you guys, that she carries everywhere, that's from a friend that passed. Her OCD and demons is from, you know, and that's mental health that triggering the last couple episodes was from her friend that killed herself. Like, she's very nostalgic with friendships.
And I think if you kind of look at the history of Sheena, you can see when things like that have gotten to her, and she'll take people back that maybe she shouldn't, or, you know, maybe she should have a boundary there, but she, anytime the person comes back a little bit, she just, like, opens the floodgates right away. So, you know, it's like, is that a bad thing? No, maybe it's not, but from watching her life the way we have as viewers, it's like, Sheena just, like, your feelings are totally valid. Just sit with them for a second before letting everything back in. Like, she just needs, like, a tiny pause. It's a little pause.
Yeah. And then Lala kind of backed up her, you know, feelings by saying, well, I mean, look, he can't be crucified day in and day out forever. And that's true, regardless of who it is. Like, he's still not taking accountability. But, you know, at some point, it's just kind of like, okay, I'm sick of this. Let's move on. Don't have to be friends.
But I feel like that was like, I get what she's saying, and it's true. But they weren't. Like, especially on this trip, they're giving him the chance. He's on the trip with them, and still, he can't do it. They weren't crucifying him this trip at all. If anything, they were having just like some conversations to get their friendships back on track. So, I mean, the public, yeah, they can't keep crucifying him, but I don't think Sheena and them are.
I mean, two prime examples. After the gondola scuffle with Brock, Brock is still yet the one to go up and apologize. And Sandoval simply says, thanks, dude. He doesn't say, I'm sorry, too.
That was so upsetting. I think I cried on that part, too, because I was just like, it's too much.
And he did it to Lala, too. She apologized, and he didn't apologize back. He's like,
Thank you.
Yeah, I know, I get it. Thank you. It's like, what the fuck?
Like, have you ever apologized to someone when you didn't want to, and then they accept it and don't say, like, what they did wrong, and it makes you so much more, you're like, I didn't even want to freaking say sorry, and now this a-hole didn't even say sorry to me.
Yes, I remember my sister did it to our aunt, and just because we had, there's everyone together, right? All sorts of relatives, to keep the peace and to like kind of move on, and so everyone could have a good day. And it, like, we were all in the same place. Like, we had all had this battle. But she's like, hey, I just want to, you know, say sorry for everything that's happened and the role I played or whatever. And And so we were expecting that back. We're both standing there, and she's like, she goes, I forgive you, honey. And then we were like, excuse me? Like, you're the one in the fucking wrong. We're just being the bigger people. And like the rest of the day, we're like, well, fuck you. We take it back. We didn't mean that at all.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe that. So what do you think about Sheena? You know, like, she kind of runs back upstairs, and she's talking to Lala. She's washing her face. And she says that she felt like Sandoval's mask fell down a little bit.
Yeah, like this time she felt like they weren't just crocodile tears, they were genuine tears, and she, you know, believes him for the first time ever that he slightly is sorry.
And I feel like I'm not gonna not agree with her there. I feel like they did have a little moment, and like I said, we're watching a show that we have to get past this, or we have to address it. Like, that's what we've been screaming from the rooftops, is like, at least talk about it so we can see them working through it and not just jump to this like kumbaya moment. So we have to go through this. It's a little uncomfortable. It made me sad. It made me feel all the things, which I guess is exactly what I wanted. So we're on track.
This, I just lost my train of thought. I did also feel that for a small second, once Brock and Sheena basically had to mansplain to Sandoval what Lala was saying, it seemed to register when they said it, not when she said it. Like, he will not accept anything where Lala is will accept it from the others.
I absolutely loved that she called that out on camera, because it was infuriating, because it was like, she literally just said the same thing, you idiot. Like, you know what I mean? It was
exactly.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know.
Okay, this episode was very Penny heavy. We had the Penny and we had the Penny. We had a lot of Penny and a lot of Penny talk. Get it?
Yes, I...
He did kind of seem like dumb as a box of rocks. Sorry, I know we're not supposed to say dumb. the word formerly known as dumb.
You said that last episode, and I meant to interrupt you and say I did not get the memo on we're not allowed to say dumb.
Well, that's what the kids tell me.
Oh. I mean, I guess it's not.
Don't use that word.
I guess that's not nice, and no one likes to be called dumb, right? But
or stupid.
I feel bad for Kevin in this moment, because maybe he was like really nervous to be filmed, and they were looking at the menu, and maybe it was one of those like ridiculous menus where it's like written comp, you know, like maybe it was something, and like they were talking about it, and then she asked the question like out of order, and he didn't know what she was saying. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he knew what penne was, but
well, here's the trick. Okay, I will give him the benefit of the doubt in the fact that penne and rigatoni are basically exactly the same thing. It's just one is more of a tube and one is an angular tube. But they're thick. They're both thick. She should have said
the tube.
Penne or spaghetti, because I hate penne. Like my that chicken salad sandwich I make, that's just penne. I use a cavatappi or
I would have said, what the hell is that? I've never heard of that before.
Or it's a larger spiral noodle, or you could use a rotelli, which is a smaller spiral noodle. I don't like the thick. The only thick noodle I like, I don't like fettuccine either. The only thick noodle I like is in a lasagna. But rigatoni, penne, the same fucking thing. So that was a bad example, bad comparison, Katie. You should have said.
But I absolutely.
It'd be like saying spaghetti or angel hair.
Right, right. You know. I loved, though, this scene of Katie's face and kind of like the realization of like, she's not doing this again. Like, she's. Yes. And that was like so satisfying, because it's like, you can't do it again, Katie. Like, like she has to have someone that challenges her. Like, I will absolutely like rage if she doesn't get that.
Yeah, she's like, I can't take on another project again. I already had to do that with Schwartz to get him to eat certain foods, which I can totally see. Because,
totally. Oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Bubba? Taste it. You taste it first, Bubba.
Okay, they go on the gondola, and at first I'm like, why the hell is Lala wearing a bathing suit under fishnets to go on a gondola in town? Like, this is Lake Tahoe. This isn't Miami. And then I felt bad later because they went straight to the boat, and now it made sense to me.
Oh, I did not see she was wearing fishnets.
It was like her bathing suit and then like either fishnet leg pants.
Oh, yeah. Fishnet. Oh, okay. Okay. See, it's a very beachy.
A cover-up, yeah. But I thought it was just like another, you know how she likes to wear the underwear bodysuit thing?
Yes, yes.
I was like, you're in Tahoe. Can you just take a break? I mean, you don't need to go to the Outback clothing store with the Toms, but can you meet in the middle here or somewhere? But they did go straight to the boat, so it makes more sense.
I mean, I would just like to point out that I freaking love a gondola tour. I'm like totally into that, but I was dying when James is like, Ali Bali is scared of heights, so I told her I'll hold her, I'll protect her. And then she's like sitting there getting like nervous, and he's jumping up and down and like waving around like one of those air tubes that are advertising like a car dealership.
And he's just taunting her. He's doing all the things that when you're having a panic or a fear, like that would irritate you and make it worse. Like the railing. She's like, step away from the railing, and he leans over it. It's like, stop it. Are you 12?
You know what's weird, though, is they just did this whole shtick of that she's scared of heights, but I just saw her social media post in Mexico, and she's on, like, a giant balcony. No, she's on the balcony, like, on the edge, taking a picture in her dress. She doesn't look scared.
I want to see if she ziplines.
But I used to, like, one of the... The first time Chad was like around my dad, we took him out fishing in the ocean, you know, like off of Huntington, and he was getting seasick. And I was like, oh, Chad, ugh! You know, and I was like, it was really mean. Yeah. I didn't think he was.
That's the worst thing that could ever happen to you.
I didn't think he was really getting seasick. But then when I saw it, I was like, oh, you're like not kidding.
It's really bad. I haven't figured out what's worse, food poisoning or seasickness, but they're both. I had very dark thoughts during both, so let's just say that. Well, for real, I was going to jump off the boat.
I mean, there's
turn around.
There's nothing you can, like, once it, like, it's not, it's kind of like a, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's not like you can, like, snap your finger and stop it, you know?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so Sandoval is explaining to Brock, this is no shit, Sherlock, he keeps saying this everywhere. He's like, the difference is, dude, is like, Rachel and I, we never had any intention to hurt anyone, you know, whereas you guys are intentionally and maliciously trying to hurt us. It's like, no shit, Sandoval, you won an award because you didn't intend to hurt anyone? Who goes into an affair going, God, you know what I want to do? I want to really fucking hurt my wife. So I'm going to have an affair, but I'm not going to tell her so it won't hurt her. But then maybe she'll find out and I'll get a love when I hurt her. Like, maybe that occasionally happens, but most people don't intend to hurt people.
Totally. And I feel like, again, there's like a, like, I understand what he's trying to say. He's just so...
Yeah.
Don't want to use the word, but it's, he could say it in a way of like, I was so blinded, you know, by what I was doing that I did not think about like this just stream of pain I was leaving everybody in. And that's all he has to, he just has to acknowledge that, and he won't. And it's just, it makes me want to just like throw my head into the mirror.
You're so mean on social media and your podcast. And Brock's like, dude, he said 10% accountability. He's like, you're supporting and encouraging your girl to put a TRO on my wife. And then he's like, that's because she punched her in the face. It's like, and then you're just perpetuating rumors of me and Billy Lee having an affair. So then what does he do? He lashes out and his team supposedly puts that rumor out there of Brock and Raquel hooking up, which I would really like to know, you know, because Brock said his publicist has sources that said it came from Sandoval's team.
I mean, this whole like little part was so riveting. I loved that Brock brought up the restraining order. I love that Sandoval said, because she freaking punched her. And Brock is like, right, well, like, he didn't say no. And then, just rolling right into the Billy Lee and the Raquel rumor. Like, I loved that they brought it up. I also was obsessed that they brought up the Page Six article about Sheena, with the picture with Sandoval. Like, they're bringing in the things that we were all upset about at the time, and I appreciate that.
And I appreciate Heather McDonald mentioning us for pointing out that there were security cameras. It's nice when people give you credit when you originate a story. So we appreciate that. She went on to say, like, oh, I don't think it's not big enough for them to pull cameras. I mean, like, seriously, we're not trying to be Dateline, so obviously. But really, actually, they should have had this gone to court and she got a permanent restraining order and this become a criminal court case. It wasn't a civil case. It was criminal. They really should have pulled the tapes.
I mean, to me, the reason why we made the video wasn't so, you know, like, it, like, we weren't like trying to crack a case or anything, but yeah. I just, as a viewer, one of my biggest questions was, why didn't they pull that footage? And to know that at least there were cameras there, to me, that just answered like so many questions, and it was satisfying to me as someone who watched everything unfold. So that's the only reason I wanted to see that there was cameras.
Yeah, exactly, in case it had gone further.
Yeah. You know, or it's just interesting that that could have been an option had they wanted it to. You know what? Like, it was there. Because I thought, what if it wasn't there? Like, what if there was no cameras? Then, you know.
Well,
but now that we know that there were, it just makes it, it just gives us more facts.
And I have a feeling they probably do have a retention policy there, because as our hard-hitting, boots-on-the-ground reporter, Holly, investigated with the bartender, he said that there are often altercations and fights. So, you know, he didn't specifically remember it because this happens a lot. So if it happens a lot, they probably need to keep the footage, because there probably are cases that erupt out of it, you know, from mm-hmm. time to time.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? But yeah, I want to know if it really did come from Sandoval's team. Maybe Sandoval didn't know about it and it was his publicist doing it on the down low. Who knows?
Well, I mean, how can you not believe him? He said he would take a polygraph. He's like, dude, I'll take a polygraph.
He said that?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, yeah, you didn't do it, Sandoval. Your publicist or someone on your team. Maybe the new publicist you have that has 3 months of experience, maybe she did it.
So anyways, yeah, Brock and Sandoval are going back and forth, and like, it's super, like, you know, like, even when you're raising your voice to a friend, or especially, you know, like, this is like a hot topic issue for Brock. The restraining order did a lot to his family. This rumor obviously caused him a lot of pain. And so they're really kind of, you know, like, using their chest to fight. Like, they're getting all this out. And frickin' Schwartz is like, guys, like, Brock, do you see the lake? Just look at it. Have you ever seen it? And Brock's like, okay, dude, like, yeah, I've seen the lake. But he's like, because it's like, no one wants to look at the lake right now. Like, can they like have a moment to breathe, Schwartz? Like, just sit in the uncomfortableness of the moment. Like, it's okay. You're going to be okay. You're not involved. You know, just like, be quiet and you can look at the lake.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brock apologizes. Sandoval does not. Whatever. They agree to move on. And then they go over to Sheena, who looks upset. And Lala's like, what's going on? And she's reading the Page Six article about the picture. And she's like, it's all Sheena's fake. There's Sheena flip-flopping again. Typical Sheena. That was a rough day for her.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yes.
Because you know all the comments on that. I mean, they were brutal. You know, and Lala got it too on the beach scene that will be coming up. But I don't think Lala got it anywhere near as bad as Sheena gets it.
Well, and you can see, like, it displayed very clearly here that they have different ways of dealing with social media, Whereas Sheena likes to absolutely see every mention that she's in, you know, like she, her algorithm is very much her. And Lala, on the other hand, doesn't. Like, what was the question tonight that she had no freaking clue about? Oh, they're like, Andy's like, Lala, what do you think about the possible 24-year-old girlfriend that Schwartz was just filmed doing a TikTok with? And she's like, what? She's like, I've been in my own little bubble over here, so I don't know what you're talking about. And that's like that's very much how she lives, which is brilliant for her because
she's not interested unless it involves her.
Yeah,
because wouldn't you even have a text thread with your friends? Like, which would Sheena be like?
But that's the same. Sheena's very much involved with herself too, but she also is like, she's so involved that she knows what's going on with her show too. It like expands past herself, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Lala is just herself.
Yeah. Did you notice Brock's drink order was a tequila with a splash of Smirnoff?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. No, but I wrote in my notes, boy, they sure are letting us know that Brock is potentially having a drinking problem. You know, like,
might as well order a Long Island iced tea without the Coke.
No one's drinking alcohol anymore, so they're like, we're gonna need you to be really pumping them down because no one does anymore. So get going, buddy.
And he does.
And then, like, in two episodes, Sheena will sit him down and be like, I think you have a drinking problem.
Oh, God. I've been through this before.
Yeah.
And I will not do this again.
Yeah.
Sign this house over to my name immediately.
Yes, exactly.
I really don't care if we talk about the next compelling scene of what size of bread we should use, but it did give me flashbacks of the Toms with Pandora.
Yeah, this scene was hard for me to watch because they obviously should stand up to Chef Penny and tell her, like, where to shove it and that they are in charge. But they also are, like, being respectful and, like, trying to... You know, it was hard to, it was just like, it's one of those uncomfortable moments where you're like looking at each other like, is she gonna stop talking? Or like, how do we navigate this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Katie just kind of weighs in on the Sheena of it saying, you know, think about your moves very carefully, Sheena, because Ariana will cut you off. And then Ariana kind of nodded, confirming that statement, like, yep. So.
Now, I really like this dynamic. I know, like, unfortunately, I think the viewers are going to be super pissed off about this because Ariana and Katie can be kind of polarizing in the, like, as being mean girls or bitter or whatever, but I'm kind of here for them against Sheena and Lala just because it's freaking interesting. It's interesting and it's gonna be just fireworks.
Yeah. Ellie is a bit nervous about doing the hard launch of James posting that they have Graham back. She's worried about Rachel, and I thought that was very thoughtful. I mean, I don't know that it's entirely about Rachel's well-being, but she knows, like, it could potentially kickstart a shitstorm, right? And she's nervous about what this is going to do.
I appreciated that they put that in, too, because this was a story that broke very oddly, and the order has been out of the way they're portraying it on the show. And so I'm glad they kept that in because it brings a little bit of realness to the story. Because it's true. It's freaking awkward that Lisa gave Raquel's dog to James. It just is. Like, regardless of the circumstance, if you agree with it or not, like, just put yourself in that position. It's weird.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they're acknowledging it. And I think Allie's the right person to do that with.
Yeah. Did you enjoy watching Schwartz's attempts at flirting with Ariel, the stew?
No, but I was going to text you. And did you notice when they're on the boat and he jumps in, his face comes out of the water and it's like, You know, like if you were to like push your nose down, you know, so you kind of do like the opposite of like a bunny scrunch, but like the opposite way. And then his mouth opened in like this weird little like that. There's like a scary, like a meme face where it's just a scary drawing of someone you see in your nightmares. And it like the mouth's open and he's like, ah, like that's, yeah. That's how he came. That's how he came out of the water.
Like a frog slee stack.
Yes.
That's what it reminded me of.
But I need to get that, like, so you guys, when we watch the episode, we're watching, obviously, like, in real time, and we're taking notes as rapidly as we can to bring this episode to you as soon as we can. And so sometimes, as soon as we're done, usually I go sit down and I rewatch the episode and, like, really get to enjoy it. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, God, that was an amazing face.
Okay, so now we get to the Lala Tom of it. I don't know. I mean, so Lala, so she's like, notices that Sandoval seems to be working things out with Sheena a little bit, with Brock a little bit, with James. So she's like, all right, this might be a good time to ask him the question of like, how could you like look at me in the eye and say I was a liar and hid my life and didn't show my real self and my real life while you are doing the exact same thing. But she does approach him kind of delicately and softly, and he does not receive it well. He's like, your entire life's a mystery and off limits for years and years. It's like, mine was just 7 months. Yours are 6 years. And she's like, no. But I mean, she does. There is a valid point in there. She doesn't talk, and maybe because she can't. Maybe there's like, you know, a court paper that says don't talk about Randall. You know, she doesn't talk about what's going on with Randall, with custody, with whatevs. But again, maybe she can't. I guess she's talking about her donor process. She's talking about her dating. I don't know. She's still pretty tight-lipped. Like, you know, she doesn't let it all hang out like a lot of the others do.
Yeah, and I feel like we heard about this. We heard Tom and Ariana mutter about this for years, that certain people don't give everything up. And they would point that at certain people. And I don't know, this...
I don't think Ariana gave everything up either. I think she hid a lot.
Oh.
I think she could, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, this... I don't know. This... It's bothering me that Lala keeps bringing... She really wants to still talk about how wronged she was by Randall. And, like, and how, you know, and she keeps on... Anything bad you say about me, I've said 100 things worse about myself. You know, she's letting us know, like, she's mad at herself, too. And she, you know, she was bamboozled. Like, do we forget that? And, like... In a way, I was kind of happy that Tom kind of was like, it doesn't matter. Like, why do you care what I think? Like, I don't know. Like, their fight was pretty entertaining.
It's interesting when he's like, we both lied. So what? We're both liars. Let's call it a wash. And I'm like, you just called yourself a liar. So why were you so upset with the sweet lady James? Because they just said what you just said about yourself.
Yeah. it's like he almost can't. He can't admit that he lied. Like, that really bothers him that he's called a liar, because I don't think he sees it like that. He saw it as just, like, deception, not a lie. I don't know.
And then he changed because it was Randall, and then he kind of changed angles, and he said, you were, like, the way you treated Raquel in the reunion on social media and talking all that shit, and now you're all fake and like, oh, I want to call her and reach out to see if she's okay. That was kind of funny.
Yeah. No, they went head to head, and towards the end, you know, like, everyone kind of tried to intervene to, like, you know, fix it, and it helped a little bit, but they were both still pissed off. And then the way it ended, it was like, there was like build up. And then Sandoval was just like, okay, well, give me a hug. And I was like, huh?
Yeah. And she like embraces him.
Yeah. and I was like, huh.
They like embraced after she told him he's a groomer.
Yes.
And I don't know if you can groom a 30-year-old woman, but she said you're an isolator and a groomer, like basically calling a pedophile. Like, let's not forget Rachel's 30, okay? Or 29, whatever.
Yeah, she's not 30.
28 or 29. Yeah. But she had a good point. She's like, look, I am allowing you to evolve just 4 months later, and you're not allowing me to evolve. All these years later, I am still just the gold digging mistress, you know, like you have me in that box.
Yeah.
So that was a good point.
It was. And yeah, again, like I can't complain about this because this is what I wanted to see. And they both went at it, and the group kind of watched that. It was very interesting. Very, very interesting. Lots of emotions, lots of heaviness, and they're, you know, they're trying to work through it. Like, how the big question is, like, are they going to do it? I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. Now, this is what I mean. It seems like in future episodes, they are still getting along, because we were all noticing on social media. It's like, oh, Lala's fine with, and she's starting to see the cracks in Ariana and calling Ariana out. She's about to call her like the God comment that she makes. So I think we're going to see a leaning into Sandoval and then eventually another lean out. But I don't know how I would like to be in Ariana's head while she watches some of these comments that Lala makes about, like, her head being in her ass and that sort of thing. Like, oof. Because Ariana has defended Lala a lot lately, like, very recently. And I would like to see if she continues to do that after seeing some of these confessionals.
Yeah, and I feel like it's one of those, like, Lala is very much there holding space for Sheena. And a lot of those comments that she made were in regards to what Sheena was feeling and what she was going through and how Lala thought she was being treated. And if Ariana is in more of a healed place, she may be able to see that Sheena was going through that and maybe, you know, some of the boundaries were affecting Sheena. So I wonder if she would be okay with it now or if it's still bugging her. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. If I was Ariana, I wouldn't like what I'm seeing in these confessionals and in even on Watch What Happens Live. I might not have, I don't know. We'll see. What I did notice here, so this is an extended episode, but I did notice these segments were very short and there was a lot of fucking commercial breaks. Do you think they're just slammed with interested advertisers, so they're trying to cram all of them in to maximize the money? So they have to add like 15 minutes. Like, we got to take every commercial that wants to pay us $1 million. Because there was a lot of them tonight. I'd sit down and the segment would be like, oh, now it's commercial again. I'm like, I just sat down.
I felt the opposite way because my freaking kids were bugging me. And so at the commercial was when I was like yelling at them. And then it like was over too soon. So I couldn't even like get a drink in between. But I was very busy during the commercial. So, but I was like, I wanted them to be a little longer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I did too because I had to, my phone was in the red and I was using my phone to take notes.
Oh, so
I
had to keep running.
I had to keep running back to the charger during the commercial. You know, so that's how I noticed it.
Yeah. And I was looking for our little handy charger. And Chad, the second I got home, he stole that thing out of my bag and like took, he loves that thing.
Oh.
It is very handy.
Yes. So they go back to the house. Brock's wasted. And he's talking to Schwartz, and Schwartz is, he's like, Brock's like, mate, you didn't pick up any ladies on the boat. He's like, oh, I know. I tried. He's like, I think I just need a break, you know. I've had a lot of great love in my life. And he's like, you know, or he's like, maybe I just romanticize love and, you know, my romantic life. He's like, and then Brock looks at him like shocked. He's like, with Katie? Like, there's no, wait, you think you and Katie had like a romantic relationship? And he's like, no, I'm not saying Katie. Well, there's a lot of things that I like about Katie, but I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about Katie. Like, just shut up.
Like, yeah, like, oh, I wonder how Ariana's feeling when she's watching this. Imagine how Katie's feeling. He shits on her any chance he gets. And
there's a lot of things she doesn't like about you, but she doesn't continue to say it all the time.
And she doesn't say it in the same way, even though she's a total dick about it. Like how she's like, I don't want to raise another, I don't want another project. Like, that was pretty rude, but it's not like personally attached to him. Like, yeah, like she's saying it, I don't know, it's broader. And he just goes right for the jugular.
Yeah. And as if it's her fault. There's all these things wrong with Katie.
Yes. And he had to deal with it. And now he's rid of it. You know, and it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard Brock talk about his first look, the pig farmer's daughter next door.
I love that.
Yeah. He's talked about it on the podcast.
What did you think about Jacqueline doing a little FaceTime with James?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, mommy's checking in. And she thinks it's no bueno that they're talking to Sandoval.
Well, she didn't like Raquel anyways, so why does she care if Sandoval's with Raquel?
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, boo! Sheena says Ariana dismisses the way Sheena feels, saying she shouldn't feel that way because Sandoval's a bad person, and she is not caring about Sheena's feelings. And then this is when Lala said... Yeah, Ariana's doing just fine. She's having her moment. She's booking everything. She's fine. And then Sheena's like, oh, this is where Sheena's going to get roasted. And I'm just like cringing for what people are going to say. She's like, and Ariana knew how bad I wanted to do Dancing with the Stars. Like, it's not her fault. But she said, but yet I was still genuinely happy for her, which is great. And I'm sure she was. And I'm sure Sheena was just looking at Ariana on stage the way I was looking at Ariana on the Chicago stage, wishing it was me. But yet she was still supportive.
I mean, I knew that Sheena was going to be hurt about dancing. I mean, she has put in years with Dancing with the Stars. Trying to work on that.
What if they make Ariana the next Bachelorette? That will literally kill Sheena. She's like, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
That was her other dream.
The Dancing with the Stars thing is rough, though, because like I said, Ariana did really well. So now someone's not only are you going to have to go on there and be bigger than Ariana, then do better than her. It's like, ugh.
Sheena could do better or the same dance-wise, but she's not going to pull the same votes.
No,
because even look at the poll on Watch What Happens Live. Would you like to see Sheena on Dance? It was 50-50. So it's like nobody even wants to see it. So vote for you.
You guys, I am the first one to laugh my ass off at the things that Sheena does, but this was freaking sad. It was sad because she has worked really hard, and the girl just wants a freaking moment.
Yeah.
Like, what does she have to do? What does she have to do?
Well, Lala said it's time for Ariana to pull her head out of her ass and remember what her friends have done for her. And Ariana needs to return the favor and have Sheena's back and be there for her and acknowledge her feelings.
Which I don't disagree with. I really don't. And I think that was like a fair statement.
And Sheena said, why can't I ever just have one moment where it's about me? I know everybody out there is going to be like, every moment's about you, Sheena. You make every... Like, I already know what people are going to say. But then she kind of like mocks Ariana. She's like, and all she ever says is... He didn't cheat on you. Like, she kind of made fun of her. I was like, oh, maybe that's the distance that's being created right now between you two. But I'm sure it's what she said and she heard. So she's just repeating what happened. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is not a normal situation. If this were not filmed, I would say that Sheena would be a total dick for not taking Ariana's side. But the fact that this is a business, this is the way they make a living, and they have to fix this and make it work, I think it's more complicated than that. And I think that's what you're hearing in Sheena's voice and tone, is she's saying to Ariana, like, you're getting all these freaking opportunities, everything's happening for you, like we always wanted it to, but what am I left with? Like, not only did she get a TRO, like, now There's no opportunity left. The show's going to be freaking canceled. Raquel didn't come back. What's left for Sheena?
Yeah.
Lala's She's having tired. A baby. Lala is, like, you know, riding off into the sunset. And Sheena's got Brock and, you know, I don't know.
Did you see that video of them talking about the baby and, like, what her brother was wearing? I put a story up about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw it.
What the hell was that? Was that, like, the... And then on my Instagram feed came this air sculpting thing with this girl that had that same scarf around her neck. I'm like, is this like, is he air sculpting? Or is this a look? Is this like a slash cousin it kind of thing?
I think it's a look.
Okay. Well.
I don't know.
It's something.
It is something.
Oh my God. I heard, where was I listening? But they were talking about comments and something about her. Like, is it going to open? Because, you know, if you walk by, there's, like, nothing there. Like, not even the set that they show in the opening shot of Vanderpump. It doesn't look like anything like that. And people are like, it's more like nothing about her or something about nothing. But I thought nothing about her was kind of interesting. But we were just told maybe we'll see them soon at the sandwich shop, so stay tuned to our next podcast to hear that story. But, you know, I guess TBD.
Yeah.
The only thing really Lala said on Watch What Happens Live was that basically she wants Brittany to leave Jax permanently.
Yeah.
Jax isn't going to like that because he thought Lala was his friend. So... that's it. Anything else you have on this episode?
Didn't see how it yet. Next week looks really good. Looks like I loved that Ashley Tisdale was on Watch What Happens Live with Lala. She seemed really nervous though, so I felt kind of bad. And then she just seemed like underwhelmed. I don't know what was happening there. And then
she did.
Yeah, that's all I've got too.
Okay, well, we'll be back with our discussion on all the news that's been happening with the Vanderpumpians and our New York story and Chicago and Ariana and all of that in the next podcast.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.